have a couple things to let you know before we get started. This past Wednesday, Gay Jell was baptized into Christ. Richard Lorton's grandfather had the honor of doing that, and so Gays, we're proud of you. We're proud of you. Stand up just for a minute. Some might not know who Gay Jell is. All right. Great. And then I want to share a prayer request with you. We need to be praying for our sister, LaVon Schutz. She's in St. John's right now. She was taken there by ambulance last week. She will be there a couple days and possibly more. She is in room 1439. And I wanted to read this. This is from the family, which says, please keep her in your prayers. Thank you for loving us and accepting us into your church family. We praise God for our blessings. And this is a place to be thankful for, isn't it? To have a church family that has your back, that's thinking about you, praying for you. It's priceless. And so we praise God for it. I want us to think about our children this morning. And I want to kind of hit on just a few different things regarding our children, regarding raising them, teaching them. It is an honor. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." And I have some background pictures from VBS this year. But Scripture reminds us our children are a wonderful thing. They are a blessing. They are a heritage. They are our future. It's a privilege to be around them. And I want us to be thinking about that blessing, not only in the sense of our children as biological family units here, but as a church family, the children here. They belong to us as a church family, don't they? And our part in that. Past couple quarters, Stephanie and I, as I mentioned a few times, Stephanie has taught the twos and threes, and I've helped her. And it's been a great experience working with. It's been a while since I've been around kids that young in my family, my daughters. But being in that class, there's one thing that has amazed me, the one thing that those children get the most excited about each week. And we do some things repetitively. We'll ask them if they have a song they want to sing. And it amazes me that they remember songs from VBS, and they'll call it out, the name of it, and here we go, we'll start singing. If you ask any of those 2 and 3 year olds, you know, who made this, who made that, who made you, they know God did. We talk about that every week. God is the creator. They love their Bibles. We sing about the Bible. We talk about the Bible, how precious it is. And but the thing they get most excited about every week, it's not coloring, it's not Play-Doh, although they do get very excited about Play-Doh. But the thing that really thrills them is there's a moment where they each have their Bible, and we have a bookmark, and they turn to it, 1 Peter 5:7, and it's where Scripture says that God cares for you. He cares for you. And we've taught them that God cares for you personally. And when they see you in their Bible, in their minds, they see their name. Okay? And they are so thrilled when that's pointed out to them. Everyone. Now, not only the ones, we have some in there that are really animated. We have, you know, Presley, she's animated. Bree, she's high energy. And she's excited. But even the ones that are a little more like me, they're shy, like Peyton Smith, she is excited at that point in time where she looks in the Bible and sees that God cares for her. It is a thrill to be a part of teaching our children, whether it's in your own family or in this family, teaching children about God is something else. Scripture tells us to go into the world and make disciples. So we have something. We have the gospel. We have salvation. We have a relationship with God, and we're supposed to share it. And we're supposed to do that by reaching out. We use the word a lot of times, outreach. Thinking about our friends, our neighbors, coworkers, people you know that don't know Jesus. And we want to help them. We're having a Friends Day coming up in a few weeks. Be thinking about that. That's one opportunity we have for outreach. But there's another kind of outreach, and that is regarding our children. Psalm 78. Verse 5 says, "He established a testimony in Jacob appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them. The next generation. We want the next group to know God, don't we? And then how about the ones that are not yet born? How about Presley's children someday that aren't yet born? Brianna's children that aren't yet born? How about the children now who are in Bible hour, their children that aren't yet born? How are they going to know God? And arise and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God. More and more, you notice in our world, people aren't hoping in God. What's going on with North Korea and kind of the conflict and the tensions? Where's our hope? Many people in our nation, their hope is not in God. Their hope is in something else. But our hope is in God. We want our kids and their kids to have their hope in God. To not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Our kids are growing up amongst other children who aren't being taught about God. And rebellion is everywhere. Our kids are they're going back to school right now this month. Some have already started back. Some are about to start back. They're hanging on to the last days of summer. But it's coming. Going back to school. Most of our children go to public schools. Some are homeschooled. Some are in private school. But it's more and more concerning where our children are those hours during the day, isn't it? And the influences they're around. What are our children learning when they're around others from the community? And one thing that they're learning in different ways, it's being taught in different ways, some directly, some indirectly. But one is that we've evolved, and we came from monkeys, and we were an accident of millions of years. That's just how we're here. And that means, of course, there is no God and no creator. But think about this one thing to notice. Man has yet to create life. Our brightest and our best, with all the funding possible, in a lab cannot take non-life and make it live. Now, they can take something living and input a different DNA and kind of modify things. They can tweak things. Cannot take non-living items and make it live. And believe me, they're trying. And if they ever get to where they can take non-living things and start that engine, all it will have ever proved is that it takes great intelligence to make life. Yeah. If they ever do it, if they did it yesterday and I hadn't heard about it, all it means is that it takes a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of smarts to make life. And yet our children are being told that that was an accident. They're being told that if you're one gender and you feel like another gender, just be another gender. They're being told that if you're whoever you're sexually attracted to, embrace that. Whoever you are or want to be, embrace that. And yet we know God teaches us some things about what He's given us, right? God gave us marriage, the marriage union. God gave us sexual intimacy to be between a husband and a wife. That's what God gave us. Our kids need to know history. They need to know science. They need to know math. They need to know English, the arts. They need to know things that they learned, right? So they can function in society and be self-sustaining and earn an income. But aren't we concerned about other things that they're picking up on? And so I'm reminded, where our kids need to be. Remember when Jesus' parents lost Him? He was 12. They lost Him. Thought they had Him. Went home. He wasn't with them. Found Him in the temple. And Jesus' answer as a 12-year-old boy said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Isn't that where our kids need to be? This isn't God's house. It's just a building. We could meet under a shade tree. We could meet in a rented space. But with God's people, that's where our kids need to be more and more. I found a picture recently, and it looks old, just the picture, but the faces in it. That's been a few years, right? Recognize any of those faces? It's a reminder our kids are growing up. They're growing into adulthood. That's at one of the BBSs a few years ago. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." That's a reminder about us as dads. We have the tendency of being too hard sometimes on our kids. We can be. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is a scripture that reminds us that as dads, the buck stops with us. God has given us great responsibility to bring our children to class on Sundays and Wednesdays. If we do that, if we bring our children here when we have Bible class, it doesn't exempt us dads from teaching them at home, does it? But understand something. If I teach my children at home, that also doesn't make it wise for me not to bring them here. Because they learn when they're here. They learn with their peers when they're here. It's important for our kids to be with each other here and grow up here. They're going to reach a place in high school, if not sooner, where they may find themselves doing the right thing and they stand alone because there's no one else to stand with them. But I want my kids to have your kids standing with them and vice versa, right? We need that. It's important. Everyone who's here, it's important. And when you're here on a Sunday, when you're here on a Wednesday, when you're at small group, anytime we meet, it's important. When your kid comes to you after Wednesday night and says, can I play on your phone? And I say, why don't you go play with your friends. And they say, there's nobody here my age. It dawned on me that I've always known for us grown-ups, fellowship is important. And when you're not here, somebody misses you. You need to know that. And when you are here, someone's glad. You have a buddy somewhere here that's glad that you're here. It makes a difference, each one who's here. It makes a difference for our kids, though. That's something that I hadn't thought about before. Our children need each other, don't they? They need each other in class. When there's a class and there's one kid in there, it's not great. They need their friends. And it's important for us to bring our kids to church. You need to know, statistically, unless something changes, some of our children who are here now, they won't be here in a couple, 3 years. Some of our kids who are in Bible Hour, when they're in ninth grade, they won't be here. If you're just looking at the trend, the way we've been, does that make sense? Take a picture from VBS of our kid, or go take a picture of class this morning of third graders, and in 4 years, some of them won't be here. Satan will have won. He will have drugged families back out, right? And so we can look back and see it. I want us to remember right now is important. There's only one way to avoid it being my kid in the future, and that is I have to stay the course. I have to do the difficult thing and keep coming and making sure my children are here. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a principle. It's a reminder our goal with child rearing is long term. It's not, and that's hard for me because I do good sometimes just to make it through today. Just today. But it's a long term responsibility. A couple of verses that we might not tend to think about child rearing, but these are to elders. These are qualifications for elders of the church. And in those qualifications, it talks about parenting. He must manage his household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. And then another one in Titus 1:6, if anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. Debauchery is, we would call that wild living. And it includes a number of things, or could. But that's the basic idea of debauchery, including sexual immorality, but other things, being wild. And we've used that term for a few generations. We know what that means. But this always reminds me, children have to be managed. They have to be disciplined. They have to be parented. Children don't automatically. God didn't make children to mind on their own, did he? He did not make them to mind on their own. If your kids are always happy with you, you're probably not doing your job.
That's right.
And kids, listen to me. If your parent is always happy with you, Or excuse me, if you're always happy with your parent, they are not doing their job.
That's right.
You may feel like you've won the battle, but you're going to lose a war for your soul if you're always happy with your parent. We have to tell our kids no. We have to tell our kids, get in the car. We have to tell get your shoes on.
That's right.
We love God and we're going to put God first. And it is difficult. And I don't know really from great experience, but for single parents, you need to pray for them more. Because it's more difficult.
That's right.
The impact, I want to mention a few things that are a little bit just on different topics. I'm hopping around, but we need to know. I want to encourage our teachers, the ones who teach in Bible class, if you teach in Bible hour, take a turn there. VBS is important, but the things that are on a continual basis teaching our children, if you do that, you need to know that there are families here that are primarily here because the kids want to be here. It's important that children want to come to class. And we don't realize it when we teach class, when we're teaching children, we don't realize how we're affecting a whole family. But think of it, when a child's excited that it's Sunday, they're excited to get up, get dressed, and come to church, you think that doesn't impact the family? And spin it around, vice versa. If the child doesn't really, you know, like coming, or they don't like going to class or Bible hour, you think that doesn't impact the family? And so what we're doing in those classrooms, what we're doing right now, we have two Bible hours right now, older and younger, down the hall. It's important. You may not think you're helping the kingdom or helping this church to grow. You are more than you realize. Our teachers are doing so much. I want to look at Matthew 19:13. This is about Jesus. And children were brought to him, and his apostles were rushing them away. He didn't have time for them. But in verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." We need to be a place that keeps investing in children, don't we? We need to be a place that loves children. We have Bible class ministry. Stephanie Price is over that. We have Bible hour ministry. Jeanette Anderson and Karen Biggs are over that. We have KFC events that happen periodically and from time to time. Recently, I asked Abby, who's 11, about this summer, because it's coming to an end. I said, what was your highlight of the summer just overall? And she said, when we went to the zoo on vacation, which is not a surprise. And then I said, what's your highlight? What was the best part of all the church events, church-related things? It surprised me. She didn't say church camp. She didn't say VBS. She didn't say some of those things I thought she might say. She said the water, what did I call it? The day it was a KFC event, KFC Water Day event that Keith and Janine organized, was across the street. You may not even known it happened. But that's one 11-year-old's best memory of this summer regarding the church. The different things we do for our kids are important. Tykes and Trikes, Trunk or Treat, Coco and Carol's, everything we do that invests in our kids. And I want to share a few quotes with you from some of our members who've taught, and just kind of their experiences and thinking back on that and how they think and feel about that. Kathy Burton said, "Pat Thompson mentored me to be a teacher, and I will always cherish my 15 years of teaching God's Word to our 4th through 6th graders. The greatest thing about teaching and spending time with our children for me was the fact that they were always so interested and so excited about the stories. Even though I've heard these stories many times before, it was like hearing them for the first time each time I read them." I want to remind you, if you've never taught, you need to know everyone who's teaching down the hall, there was a time they had never taught. And somebody had to show them, how do you do this? Somebody had to mentor them, right? And you can go to Stephanie Price. You can go to Jeanette. And you can say, I want to help. I don't know what I'm doing. But is there somebody who could train me? Is there somebody I could just help with and watch? Terry Bullard says, "For me, it was the openness and eagerness of the children when we started teaching. It was a 4-year-old class. They are all now in their late 20s. I was amazed by what they could absorb and retain. David Watkins says, the best thing about teaching kids are they want to hear what the Bible says and they don't have opinions, which allow them to be unbiased about the lesson material. The young mind is less rigid and less obstinate than the old mind. And that's an experienced quote. I mean, it speaks from experience. As an old mind. I mean, that's a true statement. Ruth Ann Bennett, what we teach is not just, you know, you think of coaching and how important coaching is for kids. It's not just it's not a lifelong sport. It's for eternity with God. Sherry Codeness, the love of teaching is seeing the children share answers, ideas, and prayers. Sometimes the kids are teaching even the teacher in what they say. And I have heard repeatedly that children, when you teach children, you learn more than you could imagine. It's a secondary blessing. Carrie Benton, I believe it helps to develop relationships with the children, and they will feel like they can come to you during their spiritual journey. I've learned through my years of parenting it takes a whole church family because our children sometimes need to talk to someone who isn't their parents. I love that because it's understanding the impact beyond just the classroom, right? But our kids need relationships with adults here. Susan Ringel said they're little sponges absorbing everything, and they're very excited to hear about the story being told. I see Jesus in their little faces. Yeah. And Becky Coupier said, I remember the first class I taught. I walked into the class and the kids were filling out the answer sheets assigned for that class. I decided to change things up. I brought a couple of chairs and an old quilt that the dogs slept on and made a lion's den in the churchyard. They took turns being Daniel and the lion and the guy who tossed them in. They told me the quilt really stinks. Well, you think a lion's den had Febreze? I wanted them to learn while they thought they were just having fun. I wanted them to really think about what it was like to be in that lion's den. I love that. I'm going to ask our Bible Hour kids to come on in. I want them to be in here for the end of this today. So they're going to come on in. They're going to come and sit with their parents. And I want to remind you and let you know. Bring them in. You need to know the worst sound you can ever hear in a church building is the absence of children. If you've ever been in a church family, in a place gathered, and you didn't hear children, it's a bad sound. It's a sound of a church that's dying. It's a sound of a church that's not healthy. And we need to be... Now, there's something to be said about using your indoor voice and walking feet and all those good things. But let me tell you, the best sound in a church is the sound of children. I love it, and we need to keep loving it. Linda Boland shared a story with me when Linda was younger and he was a minister. And this was in Wichita Falls at the Edgemere Church of Christ. And Linda was doing Bible Hour in that congregation. And so they were in the old auditorium, similar to how our kids are in Bible Hour. And he said he was leading with the kids, leading them in singing. And when Linda would lead with the kids, he would squat down and get eye level with them. He would squat down and he would lead those kids in singing. Well, one of those kids, who was 5 years old at the time, his name is Chris Pipes. Chris is an elder in that congregation today. But he said at that time, Chris Pipes, 5 year old, he came to him after or one Sunday morning early before church started, before worship. He came to him, he said he wanted to lead singing before the whole congregation. Well, Lendell thought, he didn't think he was really serious, but he said, okay, you know, encouraging the kid. It's about time to start, and the kid comes up. He's got his songbook. Lendell says, well, go ahead. Five-year-old Chris comes up, tells the congregation what song to turn to, and when he starts leading them, he squats down. Isn't that something? We have to be reminded while as adults we are wiser, we're more experienced, we're more knowledgeable, we are made for teaching, aren't we? But children were designed to learn. They are champion learners, aren't they? We call them sponges. We're amazed by what they can pick up and retain. And we need to know God designed them. Their strength, their superpower is learning. Lindell made a statement. He said, I was teaching a boy, but God was training a man to lead the church for years. Teachers, we need to remember when we teach a class, we think we're talking to little children, but we're not. I mean, they're little children, but someday they're growing into adults that will have a great impact in the kingdom. I want to show you, I'll show you one short video to close with. And sometimes you may wonder, what are my kids learning? Singing, what are they picking up on songs? And so we have an impromptu video that was captured of one of our children singing. So see if you can pick out the song that she's singing. But she just does this out of the blue, and mom recorded it. And her little sister has a cameo, but she's just, doing what little sisters do. Hold up. Oh, I missed Linda's quote. I'm sorry. I want to read this. Spending time with our little ones helps in a small way to understand Jesus' desire to have the little children come to Him. And I relate to Linda's been doing our baby class for years. So having done the next age up, this means a lot. I've seen this every week. But these are babies, okay? It's sheer joy each time one of them says Bible, Jesus, thank you, amen, or pass the Bible, holds it close to their heart, or sings along. It's not babysitting. This is partnering with parents in a little one's first steps to the Father. Awesome.
Amen.
I love that. We just need to know how important it is. And incidentally, we have a new quarter coming up, September. We need teachers. All right? I hope to inspire some of you today. But see if you recognize this song.
Rise above the story of the Lord, rise above the story of the world, rise above the story of the Lord, rise above the story of the Lord.
Isn't that good? It's a good song. We're going to close with that song as an invitation song. I just love that video because it reminds me our kids are learning things here for eternity.
Amen.
And we need them here more. We need more teachers. I want to, if you're tired or discouraged in your journey teaching, I want to breathe a little life into you. Thank you for everything you do for our children. We're going to sing this song as an encouragement. If someone's here this morning and you have something you'd like us to take to the Father for you, and with you, or there's someone here this morning that would like to put Jesus on in baptism, have your sins washed away, become a Christian. If there's something we can do, please come while we stand and sing.
Let the glory of the Lord.